حيث أن كورونا يضرب بقوة
And especially with the
latest
developments, the latest health developments in Lebanon, and the additional number of cases, the dramatic rise in number of cases. This also, as it happened with all the other activities also in our country in the last few months, we will only limit it to the speech that I will hold in this commemoration and the ceremony. First of all, I will have an introduction which I consider an ethical introduction. I commemorate and congratulate all the Lebanese people, all the Arab people, people in the Arab world and the Muslim world, and all the free people in the world. I congratulate you on this victory. First of all, we give thanks to God Almighty, who was there to support us, who was there to give us strength and give us victory, and he filled the hearts of the fighters and the people faith, and he filled the hearts of our enemies with terror. And at the end of the day, he gave us enough patience and enough steadfastness and capability, which at the end was fruitful in victory. Thanks is to God Almighty always, in the beginning, at the end, and thanks to all those who had a great role, or had a role, whether a small role or a big role, in this battle, in this confrontation, in order to also create this great battle. First of all, after God Almighty, the martyrs, we thank the martyrs who had great given. They gave so much. They gave their blood. We're talking here about all the martyrs. We're talking about the martyrs of the Lebanese resistance. We're talking about the martyrs of the Lebanese army, the martyrs of the civilians who were martyrs as well, the martyrs of the Palestinian resistance groups and people, and the commanders of the resistance, those who remained alive after the July war, but then were martyred later on. They were leaders of specific areas and specific units or big regions. I cannot come into listing all the names, but I would like only to name one of the main commanders, the central command of the wars, Martyr Imad Mughniyeh and Sayyid Mustafa Badreddin, who were the main commanders in the central command. They were with a group of brothers who remain alive today. May God let them live long. And they were able to remain and conduct the war from, operate the war from a central place. And today, on the anniversary of this war, I would also like to remind people of the presence of Haj Qasim Soleimani, who was with us at the central command, the operation room, throughout the days of the war, and his support and his moral support, which was great and very significant. And may God have mercy on their souls. All may we also give thanks to the families of the martyrs, those who lost their loved ones, their sons. We only saw patience on their faces. We only saw their faith in God Almighty. We only saw their dignity, their pride. And we thank also the wounded, those who remain today living with their wounds and their scars. And we also thank all the fighters and all those who remained on the battlefield throughout 33 days on the front lines, and even the villages and the towns, whether they were in the Hezbollah fighters or Amal movement fighters, or even other national and Muslim units or movements. We also thank the people who were steadfast and resilient, and they remained in their villages, in their towns, and even and our people who were displaced and remained in areas of refuge. They were in the areas of refuge, and they returned quickly and very proud to their towns, like on a day like this one. And we saw that all the people, all the world, all the country that brought in the people, we also thank them that they let the people in and they gave them refuge from all those who were displaced from the towns. And also today we also thank specifically our dear brothers and sisters in Syria, the government, the leadership, and the people who also welcome tens of thousands of Lebanese people who were displaced from their homes. We also thank the Lebanese army and the security forces and all the governmental institutions that also did whatever they can during that war. And also in the political position, basically this ethical introduction would allow me to give first of all thanks to those who partook in the political operation of this. We have to thank President Amin Lahoud, who led many meetings for the cabinet throughout the war, although at that time the majority of the cabinet was part of March 14th group, and most of their talk was very hurtful to him, to President Amin Lahoud, and they were very much in difference with President Milahoud, and still he suffered so much, but he was in light in the meetings of the cabinet. He was able to keep it on the right track and not to let it move towards the dangerous track. He was not able, of course, to communicate and take on negotiations with the outside, because unfortunately he was isolated by the West, because he was accused wrongly after the 2005 assassination. Also, we need to thank Prime Speaker of the Parliament, Mr. Nabih Berri, who everybody knows was also holding all the mediation and all the talks from the beginning of the war till the end, all sorts of negotiations with the foreign delegations coming into Lebanon, unfortunately even talks with internal leaderships or internal members or factions. And also to all, we also want to thank all the clerics, all the walks of life, everyone in all the sectors, the cultural, the social, everyone that supported and gave their stance and stood with the resistance with Lebanon, and all the countries that stood with Lebanon. There are very few, and mainly the Islamic Republic of Iran and the Arab Republic of Syria. And may God, we give also thanks to all the people of in the Arab world, the Muslim world, and all the free people in the world who also expressed their solidarity and their support and their standing with the resistance and with Lebanon through their statements and state protests and many forms of expression. I also thank all those who I mentioned and all those who I forgot, because this is our obligation, religious obligation, ethical obligation. Everyone who stands with what is right, then therefore they should be, everyone who stands against oppression, everyone who stands against this type of tyranny, which is represented by the Zionist entity and through their occupation of Palestine and Jerusalem. What happened, dear brothers and sisters, what happened in the July war in 2006 was a real war. It began with the clashes after the in South Lebanon, but then it transformed into a war. And this is why even the Israelis considered afterwards, they called it a war, and they called it the Second Lebanon War. This was a war that was forced upon Lebanon by the Israelis with a U.S. decision. This was only to serve the U.S. projects that was at the time present in the region. And even militarily, but even on the military standards, Lebanon fought alone. Lebanon stood alone as a military facing this aggressive entity, which whose army is considered the strong, one of the strongest armies in the Middle East, and they consider themselves the strongest army in the world. They consider themselves one of the strongest armies in the world and the strongest army in the Middle East. But still, the resistance and its people and Lebanon was patient, was steadfast, was resilient, and they were able to create a victory until Israel was forced to stop its aggression, and they were forced to withdraw and take back all the conditions that they had put on the first day of the war, what anything related to the arms of the resistance, the spread of deployments of multinational forces in Lebanon and on the border with occupied Palestine and in Syria and in the port and in the airport. And all those conditions that they had put forth, at the end of the day, the resolution 1701 came about. And that war had so many results, strategic results, whether military, it had very strategic impacts and repercussions, and even cultural-wise and socially, even on the awareness of the people and the knowledge of the people. And since we know that many of the things that we have, there's a diversity of issues, I want to talk about three main results or consequences of the war in order to be able to come to what we have today. The first result of this war is to stop the great Middle East, the new world order that was spoken of in the U.S. administration, the Bush administration at that time, and when Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice came to Lebanon and said that Lebanon and the region are witnessing the birth pangs of a new Middle East. All the documents that were spread later on stress that the war was, of course, the kidnapping of two, the attainment of two Israeli soldiers only made it quicker, but what they wanted was a defeat of Lebanon in order to enforce conditions on Lebanon, and that Lebanon would enter into the hegemony of the U.S., complete hegemony, and then they were able to collapse Syria, to take down Syria, and even isolate Iran, and take down the Islamic Republic of Iran, and the government of Islamic Republic of Iran, and also to come back to Palestine and enforce humiliating conditions on the Palestinian people, who find themselves alone, strange, and no support, no help, not in the region, not in the world, nowhere in the world. And then, therefore, they are able to put forth a new roadmap of the world, where Israel is put at the throne of the Middle East, make it more arrogant and more aggressive, and it becomes then the number one and the focal point of everything that happens in the region, politically, militarily, economically, and the media. All this had fallen here in Lebanon in the July War of 2006. That great push that began from the occupation of Afghanistan and Iraq, it wanted to continue, and it was the resilience and the steadfastness in Lebanon and the patience and everything, that everyone that stood pridefully and nobly in face of this fell. For the Americans, of course, they lose that point. If they lose this, if they fail in this, and they would come back and try again, and they would try, as they are doing right now, to try to reinforce Israel again. But now Israel at that time is defeated. It was deceived. It was, you know, honestly, if you just follow up what's happening right now with the Israelis, their generals, their conferences, you know that they are living truthfully, and for the first time, fears of their existence, the existence of this entity, which is cancerous, which was newly founded, and these are issues that we need to remind people of. This is the first reason, first result. The second result is that the July War was able to uncover the truth of Israel. It was able to show the existence sense a weakness in their military, in the frame, in the military framework and political framework and intelligence framework, and even in their home front, there is ability to remain strong. And this was very clear to everyone, and they had said this to everyone only to be able to stop the war in order to keep some face. And this left deep impact on the Israelis. We see it up until today in their statements, in their press conferences, in their analysis, in their maneuvers, in their plans in any symmetrical next war. This is the deep impact of this war. After 15 years, they continue to see the impact of this war against the Zionist entity, and it remains intact. And the impact of the victory and trust and faith in future and faith in God Almighty and the readiness for upcoming challenges remains strong with us on our side. And the third result is very significant, is a very important result. And based on this, I will build on this on the issue of the Israeli file. The resistance in the July war in 2006 and Lebanon were able to strengthen new factors of deterrence. We were able to have new deterrence against the Israelis. The year 2000, the victory of the year 2000, the main achievement was liberation, except for Shabab Farms and for Shuba Hills, which Netanyahu thought only a few weeks ago considered it Israeli, and considered that the main front line borders as Israeli borders, as he said. But unfortunately, we have some Lebanese who come and discuss and say, is this Lebanese or Syrian? Israeli Netanyahu has already said it's Israeli. The achievement 2006 is protection and keeping to a new strategy of defense and a new deterrence power. Up until today, the Israelis know exactly. They might send drones in the air, they might fly over and violate Lebanese airspace and do other violations. This is an issue that we should always look for solving that problem. And the government needs to do its job on this issue. But the previous violations that we used to see against Lebanon, even before 1948 and until the year 2006, was put in a framework. Today, there is an equation that protects Lebanon. That is the power of deterrence, and it's becoming stronger day by day with the strength of the resistance, its number, its capabilities, its potential, and its resources, whether human resources or other resources. And this is what the Israelis know and fear and await. And this equation that protects Lebanon today, and there's nothing else that protects Lebanon, this is, it's that golden equation, the resistance, the army and the people, but the resistance part, mostly not the Arab League or the Islamic Council or the international resolutions, whoever has something else to say, they can say it. But what protects Lebanon and whatever has been protecting Lebanon for the last 14 years and has given this state of security and stability is this equation. It is that deterrence power that was the result of the victory in the July War 2006. Today, I would like to come and talk about the details. Today, unfortunately, in Lebanon, one of my main problems, our problems with the U.S., our problem with Israel. Today, I want to talk about Hezbollah, of course, from our side and the allies of Hezbollah, but the main problem is with Hezbollah. Their problem with us is the resistance. It is the strength of the resistance. It's the capability of the resistance. Their problems are the interests of Israel, because when the resistance stops in the face of the ambitions, the Israeli ambitions, Israeli threats, and Israeli theft, Lebanon is strong with this deterrence, with this equation. This is why they want to get rid of this power. They want to get rid of this strength. This is the main problem with them. If we let go of the resistance 2006, and that proposal is always there, it was ready, and it's always, every single day you can hear it. We hear it from the diplomats, from the envoys, from the delegates, from the media. Let Hezbollah let go of the resistance and the arms of the resistance. If we abandon that path, then they will remove us from the terrorist list or blacklist. They would consider us, they would recognize us as a group in the government. They would even fight for us to be in the government and to give us assistance and support. And then they come to Lebanon, they would even come to visit us first and would be the most beloved people and side for them in Lebanon. Isn't that true? The Americans, the Europeans, even the Arab states, they love and hate only based on the U.S. decision. When there is a U.S. decision, if you love, you need to love Hezbollah, then they would love us against their will if the U.S. tells them to. Their problem, mainly, I want to clarify this issue very clearly to the Lebanese people. That is their problem with us. Today, for example, just weeks ago, when the ambassador of the Emirates in Washington says that we fought Hezbollah and Hamas for the sake of Israel. Of course, the Emirati Foreign Ministry did not give any clarification on this. Who is he selling this to? He's selling this to the Israelis, selling this to the U.S., to the Zionists, to the Israeli lobby, Zionist lobby in the U.S., and he said it very clearly. He said, we fought Hezbollah and Hamas. How they fought us, this is something we'll talk about later. It's not time to talk about this right now, but that is their main problem and issue with us. The fact that Hezbollah is controlling the political scene in Lebanon, they know that this is a lie that they created. The Hezbollah's intervention in the region, this is another pretext, but this is not a true pretext. Today, if I tell the Americans that we will not fight Israel and we will not hold our arms in the face of Israel, then they would just remove our name from the blacklist, even if we remained interfering in the region. They don't mind if we interfere in the region, but they do not want a force, which is called the resistance in Lebanon, defending Lebanon, defending the people of Lebanon, defending Lebanon's waters, Lebanon's security, Lebanon's pride, Lebanon's novelty, Lebanon's dignity and sovereignty. This is the main battle. This is the main issue that is fought against us, that is launched against us, especially after 2006, when the military war failed in crushing, as they used to say, as some of the Saudi emirs used to say, they failed in crushing Hezbollah. They said they failed in the military war, and they know that any future war, any upcoming war, would not, God willing, would not only be able to just not crush Hezbollah, but even to destroy it or to take it down. This is why they are trying to use all sorts of other pressure, political pressure, media pressure, false accusations, even wars against us. And this is what's happening in Lebanon right now, is part of that battle. I would like, on the day of the 14th of August, to say at the end of this part, only to be able to come to the details of that day, that for us, the resistance is an issue of existence. The resistance is the air that we breathe in order to stay alive. It is the water that we drink in order to be able to stay alive. Some people, those who talk about philosophy, there is a condition for existence, and there is an existence, there is a condition for exemplary. Someone can be poor but remain alive. They remain stay, but he doesn't know and doesn't have knowledge, but he may stay alive. But air is a condition for every single human being. Water are one of the conditions for all human beings. The resistance for Lebanon, for the people of Lebanon, is a condition of existence in order to live. It's not an extra luxury or is a specific condition that we can avoid until, of course, we have an alternative. If we don't have an alternative that is a good alternative, that is considered by most of the Lebanese people, especially those who are under the Israeli threat and continuous Israeli threat, the resistance is our choice, no matter what the sanctions, no matter what the difficult circumstances that we live through. This is why, from the Israeli part, I want to talk about three main issues. The first issue has to do with the situation, the atmosphere in South Lebanon. The second issue is what was declared of the so-called historic peace deal between the Emirates and Israel. The third point is the talk between is what does Israel have? What is Israel's role in the port, the explosion of Port Beirut, and from the port of Beirut, I will come and talk about some domestic issues. The first point, more than 2 or 3 weeks ago, the Israeli aggression surrounding the Syrian on the Syrian airport, the Damascus airport, which led to the martyrdom of one of the Hezbollah fighters, Ali Kamal Mohsen. Of course, the Israelis knew. This is one of the issues that is declared by Hezbollah, that Hezbollah would not be silent to this aggression and they will respond. And they know, the Israelis knew themselves, I didn't need to put any statement or make a speech. The Israelis themselves went and did their own measures from the first, all of the borderline with Syria, with occupied Palestine, the Golan Heights, all that, they took procedures and they stood on one foot. And they took all precautions and measures so that they would not be able to target, so they would not allow Hezbollah to target any of their soldiers, and so that we don't do any retaliation. Of course, for the first day, our decision was to retaliate. But naturally, our decision to retaliate, the retaliation that we want is to strengthen the laws of engagement. And this is why our retaliation should be very serious, not for media or for pictures or for show off or who would come to the, someone could go up to the tree and not show themselves. No, you misunderstood us. We're not looking for media. We're not looking for shows here. There is a real deterrence power, and there are laws of engagement which is present, and we need to strengthen these. And what strengthens it is real work and calculated work. And this is why what happened from the first day of the martyrdom of our dear brother Ali Kamal Mohsen is part of the punishment. If you can imagine it, this is in a huge discussion. There has been huge discussions inside the Zionist entity that this huge and strong army has been standing with, has working with a lot of being on high alert. They have stopped their maneuvers. They have been stopped their a lot of their movement on the border area, only waiting for the retaliation of the resistance in Lebanon. What part of this? That if you kill us, then you know. Then you should be careful that throughout the border you will be under threat and you will be warned and you should be awaiting retaliation. And that issue remains. Nothing has changed. And the issue is only a matter of time. And they need to stay waiting. And the second point is that U.S. President Trump declared a historic peace deal between the United Arab Emirates and the Zionist entity. Of course, in the White House, he had a party on the right and left. He was celebrating. And for me, as an individual in this nation, as a person who is a believer of God Almighty and Judgment Day, that I know that I will be that day on my position. What was my position on this in this issue? Whether personally, as a person, also in the name of Hezbollah and the Islamic resistance in Lebanon, I need to say a few words in this regard. I don't want to come and analyze things. Talk about history, geography, why the Emirates did this. I just want to give to a few couple of important words. We were not surprised, first of all, with what the governors, the rulers of the, or some of the rulers in the United Arab Emirates, this was the natural path that they were taking that would naturally lead to such an issue. And normalization of ties is there. The airplanes are going back and forth. The Israeli ministers go to the Emirates, and there is Israeli attendance or presence in conferences and deals, whether a cooperation in the corona issue and other issues. But it seems that the need
لإنجاز من هذا النوع ولا هن كانوا بيقدروا يكملوا مثل ما هن ماشيين ثلاث
اشهر وسنه وسنتين be able to stay for two, three, four years the same way that they were working. If we want to talk about normalization of ties, it's there. It exists originally. This is an issue that is not surprising. This is a natural path that the rulers of Emirates have taken, and it led to this result. The strengthening of this issue would show us that how much some of the Arab regimes are only servants for the U.S. Trump needs an achievement. He needs a foreign achievement. You can see his term is almost done, and he has not done any sort of achievement, any sort of foreign achievement. Perhaps on the inside, he had problems. He had employment, unemployment, a corona issue. That is his main problem. But even on foreign affairs, he even withdrew from the Iranian nuclear deal on the hopes that he would take down Iran. He wasn't able to do that. On the issue of China, he wasn't able to reach anywhere. So Russia wasn't able to reach anywhere. The deal of the century was refused by all of the Palestinians, and that he lost. And one, two, three, several failures. So now he needs achievement. So who is ready to give him that achievement, his tools in the region? What the Emirates did now is an electoral and personal favor for President Trump, so he can use this in his election. This is the weakest state for of Trump in his in the elections, based on the surveys in the U.S. This is also a personal, also an electoral favor for Netanyahu. Netanyahu is also in his weakest state since he began his political life. And he is, there are protests against him. He's waiting for a trial in court, three elections, and we have might see fourth election. And therefore, he needs, somebody needs, he needs to give something in order for him to be able to come out to his Palestine, to his people who are occupying. These are people, of course, people are occupying also Palestine. Sign to come and say that this is my great diplomacy that led to this. Unfortunately, they are giving him this. The Emirates are giving Netanyahu this. And what we can expect from the U.S. elections, we can expect that we can see a number of Arab regimes that are ready and standing in line. They're not just waiting for Trump. They're waiting for Kushner only. We just give them a signal in order for them to come to Washington, and we can see them. We can see a lot of many peace deals with many other Arab regimes. In reality, since Trump wanted to improve the economic situation in the last few years in the U.S., and he was able to achieve this through milking some of the Arab Persian Gulf states, and he was able to take billions of dollars from them. And today, in order to fix his electoral position and come to the elections, he wants to milk them politically. He wants to milk their dignity. He wants to remove their history, their religion, if they have any religion left in their hearts. And why all this? For his friend Netanyahu, who was was a failure in Israel. Therefore, later on, we'll see this state or that state, and we're going to be left that not just the Emirates, many other states, perhaps one, the U.S. might come and say that, no, we need two or three states. They're waiting in line. For the U.S., there's no problem with that. And in any case, what was declared, of course, it's well known, it will be signed only in days, in a few days, by the governor of the Emirates, the real governor of the Emirates. And what is going to be signed, that was expected, as I said, and also expresses a lot of the foreign policies of the Arab, many of the Arab states, which is only to favor the U.S., only to do something great to the interests of the U.S., to serve the U.S., and the U.S. tells them, you should serve Israel, you should be with Israel, you should help Israel, and they all stand in line. If they tell them to fight the enemies of Israel, to fight the resistance, to turn your backs on the Palestinian resistance, then they would stand in line. They would do the same. But if we know, of course, day by day, they are proving what the general media, the Arab media, and many of the Persian Gulf Arab states and Arab regimes, all the talk about and Iranian enemy, and whatever, as they used to say, was only big bubbles in order to divert the attention from the normalization of ties with Israel and to divert attention from the real enemy, Israel, and they want to say, all those who spoke and said, considered Iran is an enemy, they are actually calling Iran. They are trying to also keep their strings attached with Iran. They're doing that secretly. They say that they have great relations with Israel. Why? Because at the end of the day, they have problems. They'll say that they have good relations with Israel and good relations with Iran. Why? Because they are weak. They are not strong. Because one small dust sandstorm could just move their kingdom, their thrones. This is my obligation. This is the religious obligation. This is the national obligation. And this is the strong obligation, because this would entail for all of us that this is a denounced issue. This is an action that is refused. This is a treason to Islam. This is a treason to Arabism. This is a treason to Palestine, to Al-Quds, Jerusalem Al-Quds. And as the Palestinians have said, this is a backstabbing act, and everything of the sort would also be considered as such. If we cannot do anything, then what we can do, this terrible sin that is committed by the Emirates, if we cannot do anything practically, we can just at least say it with our tongue. If we cannot, then we say it in our hearts. Many can say it with their tongue. If they are silent today, they need to speak. We need to speak out. We need to denounce. We need to say and our refusal, express our refusal of this. And I want to tell you, Palestinian people who are oppressed today, and all the Arab people who and the Muslim people and the resistance factions, we need to be angry in our hearts and to have denouncements in our hearts, but do not be sad. But we should not have sadness in our hearts. Whatever was under the table became outside. What's open now, what was secret, has come up open now. This is important. This is a good thing. All the governance that has happened in history and in all the societies, this is clear in Quran. The battle of right, whenever it comes close to victory, then therefore it needs to put that strong strength. It has to be cleaned and purified of all those who are backstabbers. All those need to come out of the righteous battle side or the righteous front. The righteous issue and the righteous cause, the Palestinian cause, this would, on the contrary, make the resistance factions and the people who believe in the resistance, they would make the resistance factions or the resistance front know who its enemy is and who its friends are, and can remove all those hypocrites from its front. And this is why we can see that there is a negative side to this, and this would anger us. And but however we say that you should not hate something that could probably be of good to you. When these many people, the popular front and the resistance front, are purified and cleaned of those hypocrites, and whenever we are closer to the resistance and, or victory, and you have those people who come and present themselves as friends, but they are actually enemies and spies, and they give only half hatred for you. This is a good thing, although it is hurtful. It is a good thing, it is a positive thing. Like we need to let go of our cancerous cell in our body, or to remove something that is malign from our body in order to make our body stronger and live longer, then this is part of it. We need to remove that. And from this, I want to come to the Israeli issue. But basically, this has to do with the Lebanese explosion in Port Beirut. They used to always come and give theories in Lebanon, talk about Arab unity, that we are moving away from Arab unity. Where is the Arab unity? Tell us, where is it? Where is the Arab peace deal that was there on the table? Is there a table still? Is there still an Arab League? In any case, do we still have public Arab regimes? Can we say that there are no more Arabs? No, we won't say that, because they are not the Arabs. They are not the true Arabs. The Arabs are other people. The third point is the port explosion, the Beirut port explosion. I want to talk about the Lebanese side of this issue, the Israeli side of this issue, and then I will come to the domestic issues in Lebanon. Of course, for us as Hezbollah, we do not have a scenario on the explosion of Port Beirut. When someone comes and tells us, what is your story concerning the Port Beirut explosion, we don't have a story. The true story, the true scenario, the true investigation will come out for those who are responsible for the probe. This is not our responsibility. The responsibility is for the Lebanese judicial system, the Lebanese prosecutors and Lebanese investigators, and we know that they are taking advantage of, they're getting help from the U.S., and we were told that the FBI would be helping, and we will have also French expertise helping. So theoretically, what we can see here are two main theories. It's either like this or that. Honestly, the first of all, we can say that theoretically only, that it was an accident. I didn't talk about them previously, that there was ammonium nitrate and there was firecrackers next to them, someone was using heaters next to them or something to fix the warehouse, and that caused an alarm or a trigger and a fire, and then the explosion, this was a result of negligence and mismanagement and the fact that people don't know accountability and nobody bears responsibility. That is one theory. The second theory is that no, it was actually the result of a terrorist activity. If it was a terrorist issue, it would have many issues. Some people are talking about warplanes that shelled that area. Up until now, we don't have proof on that. There's another theory. If it is a terrorist job, someone intentionally went and caused that fire or put a bomb in that area that led to the many bombings that occurred and the huge explosion, then who is behind this intentional job? Perhaps this side or that side or Israel? Nobody could come and say that. We cannot say put this theory. For us as Hezbollah, we are waiting for the results of the investigation. Some people are saying that no, Hezbollah knows. They know exactly how this explosion occurred. They know everything that happens in Lebanon. They have intelligence that knows all the details inside Lebanon. Please, of course, we'd be happy to have all this propaganda from you, but there are so many things. There are so many institutions, so many incidents, so many that we don't know about. This is not our job. This is the job of the government. This is the job of the institutions of the government. What we care about is the resistance, the security of the resistance directly. And we are not capable, let me just be clear, because some of our friends even and allies say on the television, for example, that we cannot bear the responsibility of national security. We do not, and we cannot. How can you put something that is a burden to us, that is too much for us? It is the government that is taking the taxes, has a huge number of members and workers, and they have the army, they have have the intelligence and security. We do not have a theory. We do not have investigations. We do not have specific details on the investigation. We need to wait for the results. If we see the results of this investigation, they say that it was only accidental, then therefore the Lebanese judicial system should go and see who is responsible and punish those who bear responsibility for this catastrophe. If it was a terrorist act, this, of course, there will still be accountability for the presence of those issues for 6 years, and that in itself is negligence. That in itself is clear, is amount to a crime, but still we need to see if it were a terrorist act, then we need to see who committed it. If it were Israel, then also I was able to listen to some of the analysis and read some articles and listen to some conferences. I was able to see in Lebanon, outside of Lebanon, that whoever stands behind this terrorist act is Israeli enemy. Of course, they do not want to denounce Israel. They want to consider this denouncement for us. They say that Hezbollah knows or knew about this or knows about this, but is silent and is covering up this reality because they do not want to be able to be enforced to retaliate because they are too weak to retaliate. This is what Allah made me talk about this point specifically. In any case, investigations should continue and we need to give answers to the Lebanese people, not Hezbollah, all the people, all the governments, because this is a huge national tragedy that hurt everyone. And God have mercy on us, because a huge portion of the explosion went in the sea, and also analysts are saying that there's a huge portion of those that material that did not blow up, because had it been the original number or amount that was in there in 2014-13, then it would have been massive. The investigation or the probe, it's not I who holds this. We wait for the official Lebanese probe, but in parentheses, if the FBI is coming and if Israel is linked to this, is implicated in this, then therefore we would not find this, we would not find the truth. If the FBI are coming to Lebanon, the international probe, if we come, if Lebanon accepts this and we go to an international probe, then therefore they would always marginalize Israel. They always put Israel as on the sidelines, not accused at all. This is why, unfortunately, some people say they do not trust the internal or domestic investigations or domestic probe. We say we do not trust international probe. If the Lebanese probe and investigations reached a state where they have results that this is a terrorist act, and they reached a state where they know Israel is responsible, then those who need to respond is not only Hezbollah. The Lebanese government with all its institutions, the Lebanese people with all its sectors and all its factors, all the Lebanese political factions and parties, everyone should stand and respond to Israel. This would be an Israeli aggression on Port Beirut, on a warehouse that holds this material. This is not targeting Hezbollah. This is targeting the Lebanese government. This is targeting all the Lebanese sections and sects ever since its foundation. But you, as a people, as factions, what is your position? That's it. Since it's Israel that has killed us and committed crimes against us and assaulted against us, then therefore that's it. We forgive. What is the position? This theory, every single Lebanese and every single Lebanese faction should respond to this before Hezbollah responds to this. When our turn comes to Hezbollah, for Hezbollah to respond or for the resistance to respond, I tell you from now, I tell you now, Hezbollah, which cannot avoid the killing of one of its fighters, and they would stop the Israeli enemy, the Israeli army, on its feet, on its toes at the border, then therefore we cannot be silent to such a crime to that extent had it been Israel committed this act against the Lebanese people, and Israel would pay. They would pay a price that is due as large as this catastrophe, as this crime against Lebanon, without hesitation. And it is not in Hezbollah that it's not clear. Our response is very clear. Everybody, all the Lebanese factions, they should have a response to the Lebanese people if they were attacked and targeted to this extent by this enemy, because if there were an attack or a terrorist act, then what could have happened if had it been a huge explosion, but God had mercy on us? And from here, I moved aside from, I'm done with the Israeli side. Now I want to talk about the Lebanese issue related to this explosion. Of course, we're launching investigations. We need to have time to be able to find the missing, to mourn the martyrs, to find shelter for all those who lost their homes, to help and assist those families to return to their homes and to by refurbishing and rebuilding their homes. But I want to talk about the political side, the issue related to Hezbollah. I spoke about it a few days ago, and we're done with that. And the issue, the fact that this was a warehouse of arms for Hezbollah or ammunition, that Israel bombed it, and this issue of rockets and so on, this is done. This is over. No one could believe this issue in the entire world, even except those who insist on their lie. But in any case, what is more dangerous that I spoke, I didn't talk about this a few days ago, I want to talk about it today. What is more dangerous in light of this national catastrophe and tragedy, and the Lebanese are in a state where they need assistance, they need aid more than every time in the past, and with all the solidarity, with all this, in order to preserve the institutions, the governmental institutions, to be able to give the assistance, to distribute the assistance, and to be able to give assistance to the wounded and the hospitals, and to be able to manage the rebuilding process. And what we saw recently, we witnessed something that Lebanon was able to surpass something. They did not only want to take down the parliament, they also wanted to take down the state. What do I mean by this? They wanted to take down the state of Lebanon from the first hours. There are specific Lebanese factions and media outlets and armies, electronic armies, who were trying to use the misery of the people and the tragedy of the people, not only against Hezbollah. We're done with Hezbollah. There's the issue of the government, the state, actually. The targeting was as such. The main title was the President Michel Aoun. That was the main target. And we were able to see how it was taken advantage of, especially in the Christian sectors, Christian areas, just like they did in 2005 against President Amin Lahoud. We still don't know the nature of this explosion, whether it's a terrorist act or not a terrorist act, or who was the one who was punished, or who was the one who was accused of negligence or not. They began a campaign, a massive campaign, on TVs, on media screen outlets, on newspapers against President Aoun, saying that he bears responsibility, and they surpassed all the laws of ethics, even the very small, humane Lebanese ethics that perhaps we know we are known for in Lebanon. Nothing, no manners. We saw the swearing, the cursing. And people come and even spit on their television screens. What is this aimed at? It was aimed to pressure the Lebanese president in order to resign. And that was their project. The project was to hold this, have this massive political campaign and to pressure him to resign. But there were political factions that refused to go into that project, and some of them refused to be a front line, but they wanted to be at the back of this campaign. And the front line remained alone, especially on the Christian street and behind it. And their talk mainly was to enforce the resignation on President Michel Aoun. And they were also working on calling many of the parliamentary blocks to go for collective resignations from the parliament. The first target was the presidency, the Lebanese presidency. The second target was the parliament, the Lebanese parliament, that we have a huge number of blocs that were resigning, that even if they resign, they know that if the majority of the parliament remains intact, then this would not allow the parliament to become to fall, but they would say that a big portion of people are not represented in the parliament, therefore it's not constitutional, therefore they cannot take decisions, they cannot ratify laws, so they would be only practically taking down the parliament, not constitutionally or legally, but at least practically. That also failed. The first, of course, attempt to take down the president, that failed. But the second attempt as well, that failed. The president, Michel Aoun, is not the person that you can take down in that way, in that method, through accusations, the false accusations and lies. That's not his history. All the Lebanese know his steadfastness, they know his courage, and they know that his position in hard times, and we saw it in the July war in 2006, we saw his stance, we saw his position, even he was even ready to have his house in Rabieh destroyed and shelled by the Israelis and still stand with the resistance, but you have some people who go down and try to hang people. A person like Michel Aoun would leave the presidency right now, leave the country, and the parliament also, to take down the parliament, also failed. There are political factions or blocs that want early elections, but they are not ready to take down the parliament right now. This has to do with several interests. They accept early parliamentary elections, but they did not agree to go to collective resignations in order to take down the parliament. Third was taking down the cabinet. What they wanted was to take down the state. If anyone has a brain, if anyone has loyalty to their people, to the country, to those who are hurt, to those who are missing, to those who are displaced, to the country that is waiting for assistance, waiting for all the people in the world, in their country to come in solidarity and help each other and be hand in hand in the other countries, they take the country to collapse. They take and they surpass all sorts of manners, all sorts of codes of ethics and curses. That is taking the country to a civil war. There were people in the last few days who wanted to implement a project that was similar to years in the past when former Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri was kidnapped in Saudi Arabia. They wanted and they were ready for a civil war. Several days, I accuse Lebanese political factions for the sake of personal interests and political interests and foreign interests and at the service of foreign projects, they worked hard in order to take down the state and put Lebanon on the brink of civil war. And I call on all the Lebanese, all the sects, all the religions, all the streets, all everywhere to meditate this, ponder on this idea. Look at all the conferences, look at all the talk, look at all the words that were said, all these, the talk that was done in the last few days. Where does it lead to? Then comes the government. The government, honestly, what took it down is not those who wanted to take down the government, actually. What took down the government are some circumstances, some pressure, some difficulties. However, in reality, an explosion to the extent that happened in Beirut, any government, it would have been very hard for any government to be able to stay steadfast in such a circumstance. Anyways, the government, the cabinet went to resign, to resignation, resigned. In this circumstance, I want to talk about the government that resigned. I want to talk about the government, the upcoming cabinet. When we talk about a new cabinet and want to continue our political life, they need to be careful about something. Don't open your ears to all those who are delusional, all those who are waiting for the hour of vengeance. They are not looking for the fate of a nation or the fate of a people. They are taking advantage of sufferings of the people in order to express their political hatred. You need to be clear. Any sort of political activity, political movement should have a limit. That limit is to keep the state intact and to prohibit the institutions of the state to fall. The state of not allowing or prohibiting a civil war in Lebanon, whoever does not keep to that limit would take down that root or that ceiling. You need to say that they do not belong to their sect, they do not belong to their nationality. And we should all move underneath a roof, underneath certain limits, that we have a government, that we do not have a civil war, that we maintain civil peace, that we have the least of dialogue and talk between the Lebanese. Which now, what is talking about all this hatred, all those walls that they are building? This would make the future of Lebanon a dark place. It would open up for Lebanon, for all those who want to destroy Lebanon, for those who want to take it down. Whose benefit is this? Whose interest is this? Concerning the government, the cabinet is resigned. I want to express in the name of Hezbollah and the bloc of the resistance in the parliament, I want to thank Prime Minister Hassan Diab, who accepted this duty, this responsibility in circumstances that are very complicated and difficult, and all the ministers that worked with him in the last few months. And I also want to laud their courage and their steadfastness despite all the pressure against them. They did the best that they can, the best that they were able to do. This is their capabilities. This is what they were given, this capability that was they were given, of course, even emotionally and personally. In light of this tragedy, we understand any talk on the issue of resignation of some ministers and the resignation of the entire cabinet. And we understand, of course, the step that was taken by Prime Minister Hassan Diab. We thank them for their service of Lebanon. We also ask on Prime Minister Hassan Diab, until there is a new cabinet, that they bear their responsibilities and as a caretaker cabinet based on the constitution, based on the law, which is also an ethical job. And of course, they are continuing their job now. We know that honestly, they are at the service of their people and their government, their state, until they give on this responsibility to another cabinet. Concerning the upcoming cabinet, of course, now there is a lot of talk among the political factions, the parliamentary blocs, who should be named and how we will be forming the upcoming cabinet. And all the political factions, like every Lebanese, they can give their stance and their vision of the upcoming cabinet. Concerning Hezbollah, it is very important for me to say a few words on this issue. Of course, naturally, in any country, not only in Lebanon, every people in the world looks at a government that is capable, a government that can achieve, a government that can bear responsibility, a government that does not wait only for someone to be called Mr. President, Mr. Prime Minister, or Mr. Minister. This is not an honor. This is a job, especially in a country which is as complicated and as difficult as Lebanon. This is why we're calling for a government that is strong, a government that is capable, a government that is protected politically, a government which is not protected politically by the political factions and the parliamentary blocs, the main parliamentary blocs, and therefore it cannot do anything. And it would fall and collapse, or it is taken down by the parliament in any sort of challenge. And we had always called for a national coalition cabinet. This has been the talk since 2005, since we actually went into political governance in Lebanon. We had always called for a national coalition cabinet, or for a cabinet that is represented by most of the parliamentary blocs, in order for it to be a cabinet which is protected by expertise, the priorities of the cabinet, Today, as we said in the past, today we say as well, as in the past, when we spoke about the resignation of the Hariri cabinet, and we were against that, and when he resigned, and then we called on Prime Minister Hassan Diab, we wanted a national coalition cabinet made of expertise, but that was refused by Rafiq Hariri. But whoever the Prime Minister is, or is designated, or is named, we say right now, to call on or to work towards forming a cabinet that is a national coalition cabinet and is formed of most of the representatives of the Lebanese people. The priority of the government should be reforms, should be a rebuilding process after the port explosion, the living conditions of the people, the waste crisis, the electricity, the water, the corruption, the fight against corruption, the petrol, and the public schools, because most of the Lebanese people now will not find a private school. If the private schools do open because of Corona, then they would not be able to enroll their children in private schools. Then we will see a huge number of people going to the public schools. We need a government to bear responsibility. But if we do not have public schools, then the people's children will stay on the street. This is the main responsibility of the government, to bear responsibility of its people, and also, naturally, as a main priority, to follow up the investigations and accountability in the explosion of Port Beirut. Here, the talk about a neutral government inside Lebanon, so we don't waste any time, and I call on the Lebanese people, all the parliamentary blocs, in order to who want to form a cabinet, let us learn from the lessons of the past. Let us learn from history. We all know each other. We know what we accept, what we don't accept, what we want, what we don't want, what can work in a government in our country or not. Any talk of a neutral government is only wasting time. Naturally, this is the first question. What is the first question that I ask? A neutral government, who do you mean? Who is? Just please tell us, give us someone, one person who is neutral. Usually they say a person in Lebanon, a person is a talking animal, whether even children, a girl or a boy, when they're just ready to talk, they talk about politics. They have a certain political view. That is the situation in Lebanon. In Lebanon, they're born to be in politics. We're not talking about the situation in the region or the world. We're talking about Lebanon specifically. We go into every house is with a political position. The issue of the fact that there is no neutrality, we do not believe in neutralism in Lebanon until you actually come and form a government. There are no neutral people in order for us to be able to form a neutral cabinet. This is one. Two, the talk of neutral cabinets, I'll tell you what this is all about in Lebanon and some other Arab states that I don't want to name. There is a certain policies, the U.S. and Western policies, they have this measure, which is general. When there are elections in a certain country and a political group wins and they do not belong to the U.S., then they talk about a neutral government, a government of expertise. But if their allies win in a certain government the elections, then therefore they do not call for a neutral government. The issue of the neutral government is only a deceit in order to surpass the representation that is the result of elections in the parliament. And when the parties go to elections, parliamentary elections, they don't want to just be in the parliament in order to ratify laws and create laws. They also want to be in the cabinet, especially if it's a parliamentary democratic system. I don't want to talk about this too much, but this is for the general view of the people. Those people who call for a neutral cabinet, we know what they are talking about. For us as Hezbollah, a neutral talk about neutral cabinet has no meaning at all. This is only a waste of time. Let us take advantage. Let us learn from the lessons of the past. Let's go to a true, a strong national unity cabinet that is represented by the majority or the most, at most of the all the political factions. I just want a few more words about political factions. Some factions might say that I do not want to participate in the cabinets in the last 5, 10, 15 years. For example, some people say they weren't there for 30 years. They are responsible for the last 30 years of this economic crisis. We are not running away from responsibility. When you want to run away from responsibility, and you come and you face, and you backstab those, and you conspire against those who are now trying to be responsible, running away from responsibility, then you should leave the political arena. Whoever cannot bear responsibility in such a state, difficult state in the country, then go and take new political decisions. Then therefore you can become a professor at university, maybe you can have an association, a charity association, like many of those who leave the service, for example, of the army or politics, then they go. But if you are insisting on staying in the political life and you want to stay present in political life, and then you don't bear responsibility to reform what you try to destroy and harm, and you made this problem, and you come and you fight against those who want to bear responsibility and want to take the initiative, I don't know what we can call this. The other issue, which is in the internal domestic affairs, I also want to thank, honestly, the many of the Lebanese people who are patient, who are especially the supporters of the resistance. What has happened in the last few weeks, this has been happening before, but of course now we, as we say in Lebanese, the people are absolutely unlimited, cursing, dirty words, the hurtful words, even hurtful practices, the destruction of public and private property. They're even also hanging people. Who do they represent? What is their position? Everybody knows. The Lebanese people see this. Some people protest. That is normal. It's their right to protest. They can have political slogans. They can refuse all the political elite. They can even have a negative position from the political elite. This is their right. But many of the practices that are unethical, that are only provocative, that would only lead to strife in the country, these are denounced, and these are faced, these are only backed by some embassies, and I will name the embassies later on. Someone could come and tell me, I have not been paid from the embassy. I have not been paid from this embassy. No, don't worry. You don't have to be paid from the embassy. There are a few people who are, and go down to the front to the protest, and you just follow them. And from the beginning, we told the people, you need to have you need to be farsighted, you need to have patience, as some people ridicule. They ridicule ethics, they ridicule religion. So of course they're going to ridicule being farsighted or being patient. This is part of their natural way. I want to thank your patience. I want to thank your foresightedness. I know that in the last few days, there has been a huge amount of campaign against us. We, as Hezbollah and the Amal movement, we have contacted our allies, also trying to limit and try to control the street, because a lot of people are trying to push, some are trying to push the issues towards the street, fighting on the streets. Let us tell you again, be patient, be steadfast, and I'm telling you, keep your nerves, keep that anger inside. Don't let it go, keep that inside. Don't throw on it cold water on yourself. We need that anger someday. We might need that anger. There might come a day when we need that anger, because we need, in order to end all the attempts to take Lebanon towards a civil war, Hold it. Keep it in. Keep it until that day. The next issue, on the 18th of August, we will have the results coming out of the special tribunal for Lebanon. We do not know if there will be a postponement or not. It will announce its sentence based on what they have claimed to have results. For us, I would not repeat my words. I've spoken in the last few years. Everything that I say are our opinion towards this special tribunal, how it was founded, its organization, its system, its laws, the method of evidence that they use, the investigations, the probe, the first international probe, the second probe, the third probe, and everything that they have used, investigations, the theories that they just dismissed, and the theories that they used. I've spoken everything on this. I will not repeat any of it. But concerning the results of the special tribunal, no matter what it is, we consider ourselves not related to this issue, because we have a position towards the special tribunal. If there is a sentence of any of our brothers in an unjust system, an oppressive sentence, then therefore we hold on to the innocence of our brothers and we call on them. They are brothers, and we also would say that this is our position, where we say that the decision that will be stated will, as if it won't be stated, this will be avoided, because this is an issue that has been declared several years back. What is not important is what the sentence, when, if it goes up or not, or its content. What's important is for us as Lebanese to be careful, to take heed that there will be people who will take advantage of the special tribunal again and the results of the special tribunal, whether inside Lebanon or outside Lebanon, to target the resistance, to target Hezbollah. We believe that we will face this with sagacity, we will face this with wisdom, and some people will push issues towards provocation. They will be provocative, whether curses or swearing or some, maybe even movements on the street. I call on our dear supporters again to be patient, to have farsightedness in order for us to pass this time, this difficult time, and we will also let it will pass. And the last point that I want to talk about, I'm sorry I have delayed you, I've taken this long, but there's so many issues and there are even some points I didn't even talk about now. I want to remind people of the issue of the coronavirus. We had more than 330 cases today. Even the number of deaths is beginning to rise, and this has become to be a daily issue. The Lebanese hospitals cannot bear these numbers. The issue of the corona is out of control. What the experts are saying, but from my observation, with the details, even with those who are in power in the health sector, I know that it has begun to be out of control. Whoever before, they used to be able to know the link and be able to find who was responsible, who was contagious, and who where they got it from. Now, this is not available anymore. This means that we are in a state where it could become even more not under control. And once again, I want to stress that you main are even religious duty. A person should take care of their life. They should not put themselves in risk, even not to put their family at risk, their loved ones at risk. Those who do not go by and abide by the social distancing or the wearing of a mask or disinfectants or all those procedures, measures that we're talking about, the medical sector, this is very significant even in the religious sector. Some Muslims clerics even say that if I had the corona and I spread this and another person took this from me and this person died as a result, then I would have killed this person. This means that I ethically killed this person. This, unfortunately, people forget sometimes or try to live with their situation. Let us live with social distancing. Let us live with the mask. Let us become used to disinfectants. Let us not come to the state of total lockdown, because this is an issue that we can bear. Only some patience, some feeling of responsibility based on on this issue of the coronavirus. We have measures that have to do with the Ashura measures, the Ashura processions this year, with the Shia Tower Council and other clerics that are, of course, present in the Lebanese scene. We have a specific number of measures and procedures that we will be taking, and this is an issue that where we have some details that we need to talk about. This has to do specifically with the Shiites scene. I will talk about this on Monday night, specifically in detail. I will talk about specifically the Ashura processions, how we will commemorate this in Lebanon, how we will take precautions and these measures. We will talk about this elaborately on Monday, and I want to conclude in this great commemoration, which was made, this great victory that was made by the blood of the martyrs and the fighters, the patient fighters, the steadfast fighters, the leaders, the people, the allies, the friends in Lebanon and the region. This victory, what is most important about this victory is that we kept the main issue that is that we are keeping to the achievements of Lebanon in the face of the Israeli threats, and the protection of Lebanon only comes with the safeguarding the resistance, safeguarding the basis of the resistance, and to be patient on all the measures and circumstances that we are living through right now. We need to bear those circumstances based, and we will surpass this time. In any case, the region and the world is facing developments that are very significant. From now until the U.S. election, presidential elections, God knows what will come of the Zionist entity, inside Zionist entity, the Arab world. We need to follow up all these developments in Lebanon. We need to call for dialogue, for connections, for talk. We need to lessen the hatred. We need to lower the swearing and the shouting, not to build walls and to build enmity and to go towards partaking and cooperating in order to be able to fix the situation, the repercussions that we spoke of before. I've heard some and read some of the articles, people speaking about worry, talking about this ship coming in here, that ship coming here. Soldiers, don't worry. Do not fear anything. We have faith in God Almighty, and whoever has faith in God Almighty, and whoever depends on God and their people and their and whoever's tried, this great people, this patient people, steadfast people, faithful people, people and sacrificing people, we know as logically and even in Lebanon, in Lebanon and in the region, we are strong. Some people say that it's the enemy, unfortunately. For the last 15 years, some journalists say, they have been saying for the last 15 years that Hezbollah is weak, Hezbollah is puzzled. Hezbollah, no, we are not puzzled, we are not weak. And God willing, with the fate of God and the love of the people, the support of the people, we and our allies in Lebanon, in the region, we are the strongest or the stronger in the country. And this future is our future, and peace be.